Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Glad to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Galatians chapter 1. As we look in the Word of God, glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us all this way. I know that a lot of times we don't take our safety for granted, but the more I read the newspapers and the more I watch the news, I'm glad, thank God, that the Lord grants safety and is able to give us that thing. As you turn to Galatians chapter 1, we're going to start reading at verse number 10. We're looking at how in this chapter, the theme of this chapter is the credentials, especially of Paul, who's showing the credentials of the gospel and defending the gospel in these first two chapters. The key verse is verse 6, where he says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And as we think on those thoughts tonight about how we can get away from that real easy, and what had happened in the churches in Galatia was this. Somebody come along and said, "We're glad you made a profession of faith, but if you're not dressing like this, or you've not been baptized, or maybe there's even doing this, if you've never been circumcised, you can't follow the Lord fully," or something like that. Might I remind you, this Bible still says that you are saved by grace,
right,
through faith,
right,
and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Right.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. That applies here in Galatia, it applies here in South Carolina, it applies here at this church, it applies all over the world. And as we look at this chapter, it's a 6.3 grade level chapter. And ultimately, as we look at that, I want to show you too that he's dealing with, in this part of the chapter, the application of the gospel. So let's pick up reading verse 10, where the Bible says this: "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight as we look at this message on knowing God. Father, we love you. We pray, God, that you'll move in our midst tonight. Lord, that you'll bless our efforts as we look at your word. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I pray, God, for everybody listening to this, God, that you would open their understanding to the scripture. Lord, that you'd show us great and mighty things from this book, which we know not. I pray you'd help me to preach. Anoint me in the Holy Ghost and blood of Jesus. Help me to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord, tonight. Keep us safe and keep us sound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look tonight, there are ways the Lord has made real to the believers. And the first one is found in verse number 10. I want you to understand, he says, "For do I now persuade men," he said, "or God?" There's a lot of folks today, listen, they're not trying to be the servant of Christ. They're using religion as something to promote themselves. In our day and age that you and I live in, religion profits. And I don't mean like prophets as in prophesy. I mean prophets like this. There's a lot of folks make a lot of money off the name of God in all kinds of languages, places, and countries around this world. And there's a lot that have never met God or know God.
Right.
If we are to look at the scriptures and see, he points out, I should not be the servant of Christ if I'm doing this stuff to please men or God. One way you can know God for sure is by the servant of Christ. See, when people come along, like in Galatia where they were at, the guy that led them to the Lord that preached when they got saved was headed back. He wrote them a letter, said, "I'm coming back to these places down there." And that's one way they can know God is real, because he kept this man, sent him down there through the midst of all the turmoil he went through to get there, through all the persecution, all the unfavorable things that could have happened, but yet he showed up, yet he preached the gospel, yet he did not require anything of those people, and he went out and did a work there and started churches all throughout that region in Galatia.
Right.
Now here's the thing. When people are dealing with churches and these men that go out and say they're called of God to preach, I have no doubt that there are some that are just in a mess before they ever get there. And I'm speaking to the men, not the churches, but I'm sure the churches are in a mess sometimes too. But I read this quote the other day. It was at least 25, 30 years old. It says, the servant of Christ is never concerned primarily about the Sunday school attendance, the higher income brackets in his church, tiptoeing through the tithers, the rich prospects or favor of the newspaper in the town which he seeks to, when he lives, where he seeks to please God. And one other thing with that quote is you can always spot the men pleasers among conservatives like us. They never commit themselves orally or legibly to any Bible truth that will affect their income, attendance, or social image.
Right.
Paul said, none of the above. I'll take God.
Amen. Right.
I am the servant of Christ.
Right.
And the way we know God is by the servant of Christ through the Scriptures. These people in Galatia would have never, ever known God had he not preached the Scriptures to them.
Right.
I hear people say that, well, if we'll just be kind and show the love of Christ, we'll win everyone. No, I'm afraid to tell you, they got to hear the Word of God. They've got to hear about a crucified Christ. They've got to hear about how He rose from the dead the third day. And God says when they believe that message is how they know Him. And the servant of Christ is to do that very thing. If you hold your place here, look over at 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe is where I want to go. 1 Timothy chapter 2. See, the servant of Christ by the Scriptures is one way the Lord is made real to the people. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I take that back. 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's my mistake caught on tape this year. There we go. It's not allowed anymore, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look down at verse number 24. You're talking about the servant of Christ. It says in verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now watch these things right here. He said, gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. It's very wise of people to understand that God would have the servant, be patient with people that's hard-headed.
Right.
I'm looking at you.
Amen.
Thank you. I don't believe the rest of them can take it, and you blushing on me, so quit it. But it says to be gentle unto all men. Watch this one. Apt to teach.
Right.
You've got to teach people.
Right.
They will never hear and understand the gospel until somebody teaches it to them
right.
from the Bible. And then he says, patient. I don't like to grow things because they don't grow fast enough for me. If I grow watermelons, I want them ready this afternoon. If I plant them this morning, I want them ice cold in the box by this evening with the butcher knife ready. But I've had to learn something. If I want good watermelons, I got to wait.
Right.
If I want to have good things like that, it's going to take time. And listen, when you're the servant of Christ by the Scriptures, if you want to make God known to yourself, it's going to take time. But watch this, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Becomes a thing of this. He said, do I now persuade men or God? Do I persuade men or God? People all over this world that sit in churches just like ours would love to see things turn around in a day.
Yeah.
We'd love to see God just blow in amongst us and do a great work and just reach out to us and show up in power and see Him turn everything around in our lives.
Right.
But somehow or another, it seems like the more you're around somebody, the better you know them. He's wanting to know you, not be a butler.
Right. Yeah.
He's wanting you to be His servant. You're not. He's not your servant. You're His. And listen, the way He's made known real to you is when you serve Him and get to know Him. Look over back at Galatians chapter 1. He said, Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? Do I seek to please men? Why do you do what you do for the Lord? Is it for people or is it for the Lord? Now, if you look down at verse 11, you'll see the second way that the believer is, the Lord's made real to the believer, and that's from the preaching of Christ from the Scriptures. He says in verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." That statement is easily proven by you. Here's how. When we look at how Christ is made known to us by the preaching of Christ from the Scriptures, everybody in this world is born believing, if I am good enough, I will go to heaven one day. That's the general idea amongst the human race of a way to heaven. And as we get older and probably when our first few formative years we're learning things, if we're taught in our church that the Bible's the Word of God, we believe without ever reading it that cleanliness is next to godliness. I've never met somebody who's raised in church didn't believe that was in the Bible before. Somebody either told them or they found out it wasn't there. Why, I don't know. But they believe being good enough to go to heaven and cleanliness next to godliness, that's got to be in the good book somewhere. The strange thing is when you get saved and you realize it wasn't your goodness, but He is that got you there. It wasn't your cleanliness, but He is that brought the cleansing. And you get in there and you start to find out there's some things in the Bible that you thought was there that wasn't there.
Right.
But the one thing for sure is this, if you're going to know God, it's going to be from the preaching of Christ, from these Scriptures.
Right.
I know we look in the Bible. I was reading a thing the other day, an article about the Ark, Noah's Ark. And they built one of these things somewhere in America, and they've got a thing where you can go to it and tour it and all that. And when you go out there, they take the Bible and show you different things and stuff like that. My immediate question is this. Where would they get such dimensions to know how to build something like that? Oh, yeah, God put them in this book.
Right. Yeah.
There's one catch about this ark that I don't think nobody ever realizes. When that door was sealed on the ark, when it says, when they got in there and it was sealed, they couldn't come back out that way. You know why? Because you got to have the New Testament to interpret the Old, and you got to have the Old to understand the New. When Jesus said, "I am the door," He was referring all the way back to that boat. Because He's the one kept the water from going in, the people from getting out and getting drowned. When you preach Christ from the Scriptures. When we look at Him as the door, we find out this, the only way out was up. They had to tear the covering off the ark to get out of it. Isn't that something? How'd that happen? Well, see, it's like this. Once you're in Christ, and that ark being a type of Christ, once you're in, the only way out's up, thank God.
Right.
It wasn't the fact that they kept themselves in it. They couldn't get out.
No.
But when they got out, they had to go up to get out.
Right.
I'm glad, listen, one day that the horn's going to sound, we're all going to be called up out of here, and God's going to take us up. And thank God that's the only way that Jesus talked about, because once He's the door, that means the devil can't get in and get my soul. He can take everything else, but he ain't going to get my soul. That belongs to the Lord.
Right.
I see that the preaching of Christ in the Scriptures, He said, "I certify you, brethren." And He talks about the gospel. Do you know that Paul was a Pharisee? He was part of the Sanhedrin Council, and if you go read books about them and see what the Bible says about them, they were probably the most profitable religious body amongst the Jews. The Pharisees were like the modern day legalists. You had to do this, this, and this, and this, and this in order to be, right with God. The Sadducees were like the liberals. You know what they did? They didn't believe nothing. They didn't believe a resurrection. They didn't believe any of that stuff. And what was funny is they sent a guy to Jesus to ask Him what He thought about if a man and woman was married, and the man died, and he had these brothers and kept marrying her, and if one died, the next brother had to marry all that one, then resurrection, whose wife would she be? I wondered two things about that. Number one, if I had six brothers, and my older brother got married to a woman, and she kept killing off my brothers, why would I want to marry her? Number two is this, if they didn't believe in the resurrection, why would they ask such a dumb question if they thought it was stupid to start with? But look at this. Paul was in that Sanhedrin. He wasn't one of the liberals. He is a legalist. He believed you had to be circumcised, you had to keep the Sabbath, abstain from pork, and all this other stuff. But when Christ was preached to him in Acts chapter 7, the Bible said it cut them men's hearts.
Right.
Just like it did in Acts chapter 2. So the preaching of Christ from the Scriptures, That's what gets you to where you know God. He didn't know God before, but now he knows God.
Right.
When Stephen lost his life over there after that wonderful sermon in Acts chapter 7, before they ever stoned him, they threw their coats at a man named Saul, which was Paul, would later be renamed Paul. They put their coats at his feet.
Right.
When he got up there and said how foolish Israel would be, and he knew every Bible passage, every verse he is talking about.
Right.
But once you preach Christ from them scriptures, it changes things. Listen, the Old Testament's still read in the synagogue to this day. But when you preach Christ from them scriptures, oh, what a difference that they'll make.
Right.
I see that he said the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Paul was working his way to heaven just like everybody else. If you look over in two books over, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, look over Philippians. Over chapter 3. This is where Paul was at with this thing. In Philippians chapter 3, look down in verse number 4. This is how he was. This is prior conversion right here. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, that's what I was living for. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all those but loss for the excellency of the knowledge, that's knowing God, knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And when we get to Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, all the modern translations take out dung, and they don't put the modern equivalent in it, by the way. They don't put the modern 21st century word used right there.
Right.
They put garbage, most of them, and dung and garbage are two different things.
Yeah. Right.
If you can't figure that out, you go down to the landfill and go down to Dr. Grant's office. He's the vet in town. I want you to go down and ask him, tell him I sent you. Say, can you show me the difference in what dung is? And then go out there and ask that garbage man out there at the landfill what garbage is, see if you can tell the difference.
Yeah.
I believe you can.
Right.
He says here, here's what Paul's after now. He got saved on Damascus Road, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, he says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What's he after now? Instead of knowing God by trying to keep something, he's knowing God because he's kept. Instead of knowing God by what he's doing, he's knowing God by what Christ has done. And that's how we know God, is from the preaching of Christ, from the Scriptures. When we look at how Paul's life changed, would you believe this? He probably lived better before his conversion. You know why? He thought he had to do that in order to be saved. He done everything the law had. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible don't say this, but I know it could possibly have happened. I don't know if he ate a bacon sandwich afterward, but I'm sure he wanted one. I'm sure he wanted one before, but thought, I can't eat that, that's an unclean meat. But after he got saved and realized, hey, we're not under the law, I believe he said, BLT, please. Bacon double cheeseburger, please. And then he probably thought, just forget that meat and that cheese and that hamburger and that bread. Just give me that bacon. Why? Bacon. That's why. Licking my lips. I can taste it right now.
Right.
But I'm telling you that it was the preaching of Christ from the Scriptures is how he began to know God.
Right.
A lot of folks don't get that. He said the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. The message changed when he gets saved. If you look back over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, we see literally the ways to know God is the servant of Christ, knows him from the Scriptures, by the Scriptures. The preaching of Christ is from the Scriptures. But then there's a thing that comes along here in verse number 12. He says this. He says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The way we know God is by the revelation of Christ in the Scriptures. When we meet someone, we may not know them well, but we've met them. When we, those of you that are married and those that are, have been through a relationship in your life, you've been married to someone, I don't think you got married the first day you met. Now, to my knowledge, there's nobody in here like that, is there? Okay, this will be a whole lot less painless then. Because I thought about this, I thought, sure as I had somebody's going to say, you know, yeah, we married, we was in Vegas, and we... Bless your heart. Man surprised his wife the other day. You know what he did? He drove out to Vegas. He said, honey, he said, I love you. She said, I love you too, and I'd marry y'all over again. He said, good, because we're fixing to pull in through one of them drive-through wedding chapels, and I want to hear you say yes one more time. He said, this time I'm getting you on camera just in case. There's ways to do it. That ain't a good thing right there to do it that way, by the way. But when you meet somebody, you know them. You begin to know their name. You begin to learn what they like and what they don't like. And then after a while, you start to do things to please them, and they start to do things to please you. And then somewhere along the way, one of you messes up that perfectly nice friendship and says, I love you. And then it's all over from there, isn't it? Then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you put two rings on. A wedding ring and a supper ring. If you ever wonder why the devil's so out to get your marriages, he hates it. He wants you to die and wants you to die miserable.
Yeah.
Because that wedding is a picture of Christ and His bride. But the only way you get to know your spouse is if they reveal themselves to you.
Right.
And once Christ has revealed Himself to Paul in Acts chapter 9, where he says, Lord, who art thou? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He's smote with blindness. He's told to go into Damascus. He'll change things for him there about that blindness. And he does. He sends a guy up there by the name of Ananias. And I'm going to deal with Ananias in a few weeks about what happened with him and Paul. But the funniest thing is we look at the scriptures and we see a story in there of Christ revealing Himself to Paul. How did he know about the gospel? He had read the Old Testament. He knew the law. But it was by revelation of Jesus Christ that he got the gospel. Can I point out to you that the day you got saved, you may have thought about it some, you may have heard about it, but it wasn't until you got and seen the written contract here where God said that He wants to know you and He wants to reveal Himself to you, and you met Him in salvation, but now you're beginning to see Him revealed to you through the Scriptures. I'm glad to know this. I don't know everything about the Bible. I don't know everything about God. But I'm pleased with the little bits I get here and there, and the more I get to know Him. Look back over in Philippians chapter 3 again. I'll show you this. After Paul got saved, you know what his immediate goal was? It wasn't to get to be the head of the Sanhedrin. We read down to verse number 9 in Philippians 3. Look over here in verse 10 of the book of Philippians chapter 3. Here's what he wanted right here. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. For if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What did he point out to them? That when you begin to know God, He reveals Himself to you through the Scriptures. And the more He reveals Himself, the more you know about Him. And listen, every little bit counts. Isn't it good to be able to learn God?
Amen.
To know Him and to get to know Him. Not just to be acquainted or have heard about Him, but to know Him. If you've ever met anybody famous, generally, the rule is, whatever character they play on TV, when you meet them in person, they're not like that. Generally. They're an actor. They're on television. They can do different characters. I've watched TV shows where the guy that's on the TV show will be a straight-laced person, probably a cop or something like that. And when he pulls his gun out, he can shoot without batting an eye. Bam, drop the bad guy. Priest down there and check him, you know, we got him. Then I saw an old TV show with the same guy on him. He was funny and everybody laughed and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking, is that really the same guy? Then they had him on an award show one time and they interviewed him. He didn't sound like any of them other two guys. You don't know who the real them is. But I'm glad when I brought my thoughts on who I thought God was when I met him and he began to let me know him, I realized this. I didn't want to know the God I thought was God, the God of my imagination. I didn't want to know the God of the legalists or the God of the liberals. But I'm glad to know that when I may know him and the power of his resurrection, I met the God who is the Lord, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that happened is by the revelation of Christ through the Scriptures.
Right.
While God has no new revelations other than this Bible, he does reveal himself to the believer in the pages of this book. You're going to find as you read and study the Bible, come to Sunday school, listen to preaching, and take in the good things of God, that he points out about the fellowship of his suffering. Sometimes it's through the hardest times we get to learn the Lord. And sometimes through the worst situations we go through in life and the difficulties we go through, we just learn more about him through the thing. I've heard people who are of Arminian in their head become a Calvinist in their mouth and they say, well, God intends everything for a purpose. Let me tell you something. That purpose is generally not God's perfect will, but your stupidity. You make things hard on yourself. Don't do that. It's like this fella I talked to a while back. He said, a lot of people don't like me. I said, they don't like you. I can't understand why. He said, because I preach the Bible. And I heard him preach, and it wasn't his preaching that gets them. He couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. By our standards, you know. It was his living that people didn't like. He didn't just preach to give 10%, he gave 10%. He just didn't preach, you ought to come to church, came to church, that type of thing. That kills people. But you know what I see in that? No matter how his delivery of any sermon goes out like this, his life delivers more to the believer that, hey, he's knowing something of God that's been revealed to him through the Scriptures.
Right.
I've seen people come along and tell me, they say, well, I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I'm Pauline in my doings and leanings and learnings. And I, forgive me, but after Paul got saved, he didn't hang out in the synagogue and wear a robe.
Right.
He was a street preaching missionary that come to town, found whoever he could, won them to God, and started the church when he found two of them. This bunch won't move from one place to another without guarantee a salary and a guaranteed U-Haul from either getting them out or where they're going to.
Yeah.
That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Oh, but you're Pauline in your... Yeah, okay. Usually it's some egghead says something like that, that they're Pauline. The day that you compare yourself to the Apostle Paul, I have a question for you. When you come to town, do they show you the Holiday Inn or the jail? If you're of Pauline descent, if you're like Paul, they show you the jail inside of a day. Everywhere he went. So how'd that happen? It's because he preached wherever he was at.
Right.
Do you realize that one of the greatest chapters in the book of Acts, and I remember hearing this preached early on as a believer, when Paul got over there with Silas and they come into town, Acts chapter 16, the first thing he did was ruin their fortune-telling business. By casting the devil out of a lady? Those of you that are Pauline in your theology and practice, how many devils have you cast out that didn't jump up and say, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?
Right.
Remember that happened to a bunch of guys that were Pauline in their dissertation as well. You learn Christ by the revelation of the Scriptures. He reveals himself that book to you. There's things in the Bible that we see that are clear pictures and types of Christ. We see him. We looked at his hands this morning. We see all this. All that comes from this book. If somebody says they got a revelation outside of this book, the Bible tells us what they are. They're liars.
Right.
God's revealed everything right here. Matter of fact, look over at Revelation chapter 1. I want to show you this before we leave tonight. if you look in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 1, here's the last revelation right here. It says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Go over to Revelation chapter 22. As you get to Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And when this last amen is written right here, that was the last of it.
Right.
And we say we have a perfect Bible. Is that correct?
Amen.
Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. verse 8. The Bible says, their charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect here. A.D. 95, it was finished. That's when these other gifts ceased.
Right.
That he just mentioned up here. Charity still never faileth.
Right.
Notice that. But it says, but whether there be prophecies, they're going to fail. You ever picked up a National Enquirer? Of course you have. When nobody's looking at the grocery store and you didn't think nobody knew you there, you picked up one, looked at it, and somebody on there said something that said the world was going to end, or they found Elvis, or something. I found Elvis, too. He's still in the same grave in Memphis as where I left him up there when I went up there and seen his house. Still there. Not moved an inch. So you believe that? Pretty sure of it. So why? Because Michael Jackson died much later than I thought he would if Elvis would have found out that guy's fooling his daughter.
Amen.
That was a weird fella right there. Michael Jackson, not Elvis. But I look at the scriptures and I see this. I've read that May 12th was going to be our last day a couple of years ago, and it wasn't. I read that Labor Day in 1977 was going to be our last day. All those prophecies keep failing.
Yep.
But he said over here, those prophecies are going to fail when that which is perfect has come. He wasn't talking about Jesus right here. Jesus has already showed up.
Right.
Now the Bible's finished. The revelation of Jesus Christ is not outside the Scriptures. It is literally in the Scriptures. If we're going to know Him and we're going to know God, we got to let Him show it to us.
Amen.
Little by little, intimate piece by intimate piece, as we get to know Him. Let's stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love You. God, we thank You, Lord, for...